Chapter 4. It's Just the Very Biggest Thing in the World. Hardly was it shut when Mrs. Challenger darted out from the dining room. The small woman was in a furious temper. She barred her husband's way like an enraged chicken in front of a bulldog. It was evident that she had seen my exit, but had not observed my return.
"You brute, George!" she screamed. "You've hurt that nice young man!"
He jerked backward with his thumb.
"Here he is, safe and sound behind me."
She was confused, but not unduly so.
"Oh, I am so sorry, I didn't see you."
"I assure you, madam, that it is all right."
"He has marked your poor face. Oh, George, what a brute you are. Nothing but scandals from one end of the week to the other. Everyone hating and making fun of you. You've finished my patience. This ends it."
"Dirty linen," he rumbled.
"It's not a secret," she cried. "Do you suppose that the whole street, the whole of London for that matter? Get away, Austin, we don't want you here. Do you suppose they don't all talk about you? Where is your dignity? You, a man who should have been a Regius professor at a great university with 1,000 students all revering you, where is your dignity, George?"
"How about yours, my dear?"
"You try me too much. A ruffian, a common brawling ruffian, that's what you have become."
"Be good, Jessie."
"A roaring, raging bully."
"That's done it. Stool of penance," said he.
To my amazement, he stopped, picked her up, and placed her sitting upon a high pedestal of black marble in the angle of the hall. It was at least 7 feet high, and so thin that she could hardly balance upon it. A more absurd object than she presented, cocked up there with her face convulsed with anger, her feet dangling, and her body rigid for fear of an upset, I could not imagine.
"Let me down," she wailed.
"Say please."
"You brute, George, let me down this instant."
"Come into the study, Mr. Malone."
"Really, sir," said I, looking at the lady.
"Here's Mr. Malone pleading for you."